Avos Perk Aleph Mishnah Yud Aleph 1:11, and now we have Avtalion, the Av Bezdin who worked with Shmaya, also a convert and the teacher of the famous Hillel. So this Mishnah is pretty cryptic, and let me read it to you, and you'll see what I mean. It's sort of uncharacteristic of the Mishnah in Avos. It says Avtalion Omer Chachamim, sages, Hizaru b'dvreichem, be careful with your words. Shema tachuvu chovos galus, maybe you'll end up being punished and sent into exile somewhere away from home. V'siglu l'makom ma'im haraim, and you're exiled to a place of bitter waters. V'yishtu hatalmidim habam achareichem, and the students who come there after you will drink from those waters. V'yamusu, and they die. V'nimtza shem shemayim mischalel, and it will turn out that the name of heaven has been desecrated. That's the Mishnah. Like I said, cryptic. So I'm going to explain this according to how the Bar Tanura, the Rambam, Rabbeinu Yonah, the Miri, all kind of learn it together. But this is talking about, it's addressing teachers, rabbis, and warning them to be very clear in their teachings to avoid misunderstanding, because those... if there are people who already have sort of biases, pre-existing sort of heretical or like almost heretical ideas, they will misinterpret your words, and that will have sort of potentially catastrophic ramifications. And the basic paradigm for this is the story I mentioned earlier on. Back at the beginning of the Mishnah, the Mishnah Gimel, we had the story of Antigonus Ishsocho, who advocated serving Hashem not for the sake of the reward. And he had these two students, Tzadok Ubaisos, and these two students misconstrue what he said, that really there was no judgment thereafter, there was no world to come, there was no final consequence to one's actions, and therefore they ended up becoming, Tzadok gave birth, if you will, to the, he's the father of the Tzdukim, the Sadducees, and Ubaisos, the Baisusim, were aligned with the Sadducees, and this basically was like a competing, conflicting, heretical Jewish sect, so terrible consequences from the sort of misunderstanding of what the teacher had said. That's sort of the paradigm we're following here, as far as they understand this Mishnah. So I'm going to explain it, how they read it, then at the end I'll sort of try to explain how I think it's, although it is sort of obscure, it actually has very specific advice and application in this day and age as well to teachers. So the Mishnah says inside, again, I'll take it word by word here, Hizaharu b'divreichem, be careful with your words. Again, that would mean explain what you're teaching clearly to avoid misunderstanding, because there are going to be people who essentially want, who are predisposed to misconstrue your words. And then, if you're not careful, shema tachuvu chovos galus, maybe for whatever reason you'll end up being sent into exile, away from home, away from your home base. And there, v'siglu l'makom ma'im haraim. Over there, in your new location where you're teaching, it's a place of bitter waters. Now, what does bitter waters mean? So, water, throughout the Torah and rabbinic literature, is always referring to, it's like a metaphor for the Torah. Ein ma'im ela Torah, says the Gemara in Bava Kamma and elsewhere. So, the bitter waters mean that the Torah in this place is, ra'im is like kind of evil or bad, not really necessarily bitter. The idea being that there is a predisposition to misconstruing the words of Torah, and that makes that is a place where it's prone to heresy. Now, it could be very possible that Avtalion has a very specific event in mind, not necessarily the paradigm I said before of Antigonus and his students Tzadok and Baisos, but maybe the following possibility that he has in mind. Possibility is that what he has in mind is that his teacher, Shimon ben Shetach, I mentioned in the previous recording, that Shimon ben Shetach was in exile when Yanai HaMelech, Alexander Janaeus, was king. He called himself king in Israel. So he essentially chased the Prushim, the Pharisees, out of town, siding with the Tzdukim, the Sadducees. And there's the Talmud Yerushalmi gives a story, it's Fanos and Midrashim, that what precipitated Shimon ben Shetach's exile the following story. There are these 300 people who committed to becoming Nazirim, Nazirites. And at the end of that process, they have to come to Yerushalayim, and they have to bring, like, this concluding procedures involves three animals. There's three sacrificial animals, so you have 300 people times three animals, 900 animals required. And these 300 Nazirim didn't have the money to pay for it, so they were stuck. And until they give this concluding sacrificial offering, they're stuck being Nazirim. They're stuck not being able to drink wine and not cut their hair and the like. So what did he do? So since committing to be a Nazir, a Nazirite, is it's a form of like a neder, so like an oath, a binding oath. So there's such a thing as hataras nadarim. A rabbi, a bezin, can essentially release one from his vow, provided that he has, there's certain conditions that he met. Okay, there has to be something, it's called Pesach and Charat. I can't get the details now, but sometimes you can if the person essentially didn't understand the consequences of his vow when he took it on way back at the beginning. So it says this, as the story goes, Shimon Shetach was able to find a way to release half of them, 150 of the 300, from their Naziris, but 150 he couldn't, so he was stuck. So what did he do? He went to Yanai HaMelech, he's the king. Again, Yanai is married to Shlom Tzion, who's Shimon ben Shetach's sister. And he asked the king, he said, listen, we have these 300 Nazirim that have shown up, and they can't afford to bring their offerings. If you can pay for half, I'll take care of the other half. And Yanai HaMelech agreed. So that solved the problem. The problem is that Shimon ben Shetach had certain adversaries, enemies, who went to the king and said, listen, Shimon ben Shetach just pulled a fast one on you. You paid for half of these animals, 450 of them, and he paid for nothing, and you got tricked. So Shimon Shetach gets summoned by the king, and the king calls him out, and Shimon Shetach says, what are you talking about? He says, you took care of half based on what you have, meaning money, and I took care of the other half based on what I have, which is my Torah knowledge, my ability to be matir the neder, to release them from these vows. But Yanai HaMelech was not impressed, and he was chased out of town, and for his life he had to flee. And then up in Alexandria, Alexandria was essentially the largest Jewish town in the diaspora, and like sort of the leading cultural hub in the Jewish world outside of Israel, and at this time, and also a very liberal environment where Judaism, was not as simple as in terms of its interpretation and its adoption. So there was a lot of I call it leniency, okay, and heretical trends in Alexandria. So it may well be that's exactly what Abtalion has in mind, and like this very paradigm. And the idea is that the very same teachings that Shimon Shetach made, let's say, when he was, and the like, it's just a paradigm for this to repeat itself again, when he was teaching in Israel amongst his students there in the pristine Jerusalem, so everyone was well-intentioned and already pre-committed to doing what the rabbi says and being, having loyalty to, like, I'll call it orthodoxy. But in Alexandria, not the case. So the very same teachings that he brought with him to and followed him down to Alexandria, there they were misconstrued and things went bad. So that was the place of the bitter waters. V'yishtu ha-tamidim ha-baim achreim v'yamusu. What happened was, people perhaps even followed Shimon Shetach down, or people would follow this hypothetical teacher to his new location where he's been relocated to. And there, those students essentially will be even the very same students, which back in the pristine, let's call it Yerushalayim in Jerusalem, they were thriving spiritually and, were pure. But in the more complex, nuanced world of this new location, the Alexandria, if you will, they were influenced by other ideas. And then now they misconstrued what the rabbi was teaching, and they died. Now, what did they die? They actually died because of their sins, essentially, from their misunderstanding and misinterpretation of the Torah. There's sort of a punishment, that's the idea here. And then, v'nimtza shem shamayim mischal, aside from them dying, which is a terrible tragedy all to itself, they died in their spiritual death, if you will. There's a separate issue of shem shamayim mischalel, there's a desecration of the name of heaven. So let me just speak this out for a second. It may well be that, in the Torah prescribes gullus, exile, for accidental death. That means a literal, person inadvertently kills another fellow, so he goes into gullus. Okay, it's not a topic for now. But it may well be that what's happening here is something along those same kind of lines. The rabbi ends up going into gullus for exile for whatever reason, and he's now essentially perhaps guilty for some kind of inadvertent or accidental death, because his words are misinterpreted, called like sort of the spiritual death of these students, if you will. So the idea is here, these students now not only sort of have their inadvertently, you know, have their olam haba, the world to come, cut short because they went off the, you know, become heretics, but also the very persistence of these heretical ideas, the ideas, the fact that there are tzedukim, Sadducees floating around who are advocating that there's no soul, no afterlife, and no reward of punishment, that's Jews taking that position, and certainly a tremendous chil Hashem, so the same thing will happen. The rabbi who originally started out teaching but didn't teach in a way that was clear and was cleverly presented in a way that could avoid misconstrual ends up becoming like a backbone of this, like a Sadducean type movement, which is heretical. And that the heresy and the people pushing people away from the Torah and misunderstanding the Torah is chil Hashem in of itself. So basically, two bad things happen. The students that follow die, and also there's an ongoing chil Hashem that persists because of this, you know, improper teaching, imprecise teaching. Now, it sounds like something very sort of, you know, specific to that time and place. Maybe it's even referring to specific events, like the events of Antigonus or the events of Shimon Meshetach. But I think this is just super relevant for any teacher, any rabbi in this day and age. I just have to say, because I've experienced it firsthand myself. You know, if you're, you never know where your teachings go. This is a recording, right? Who's going to hear this recording? Who knows? Now, if I'm teaching my students in Ramat Beit Shemesh in Israel, so they are pre-committed and they're pure and they are, you know, they're looking to understand and not misconstrue. But I've spoken at university towns, university campuses, and the experience you have, I don't want to name names, but, you know, in these places I have, these liberal towns, is that the well-meaning Orthodox Jews of those towns really have a lot of strange ideas floating around their head that are sort of unconventional and deeply influenced by, you know, the in vogue philosophical or scientific or literary cultural ideas of their time and place. And therefore, they are sort of absolutely unintentionally, but they almost can't help but, you know, misconstrue your words, because the teacher's words, because they're viewing it through this kind of warped lens of this, like, you know, syncretic, you know, mixture of their, you know, their Hegelian ideas of history, or, you know, their Spinoza ideas of whatever it is. They have these, you know, strange ideas, and they can't, they see things in your words that really aren't there. And I've experienced this firsthand. So the here for the 21st century, as relevant as any time, the of Talion is advising people, teachers, so if you're a student, not a teacher, that's a different thing, but for all teachers, to be very cautious in how they present things and to be mindful that people will are liable to misconstrue their words intentionally or even unintentionally, and that they should be very careful. Be careful to when you're trying to explain something from the Torah, to not give, like, you can't say, you know, if you give the impression that you keep kosher because you know, for hygienic reasons, or you keep Shabbos because it was hard work, and you're doing, you know, then that people misunderstand what you meant. And say, well, nowadays it's not hygienic to keep kosher; that's not relevant. So I don't need kosher anymore. Nowadays it's not hard work to keep Shabbos, to turn on a light switch is not hard work. So I could do that on Shabbos and the like. Okay, so you have to be very careful, and that is, it seems, what Avtalion is coming to advise regarding.